Hear the word of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan, and this is the plan. For at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, which was promised long ago. The Spirit of God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would give praise and glorify him. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Please be seated. I love Paul's words to the Corinthians at Ephesus and to us. He says that the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance guaranteed, the inheritance that he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his very own people. And he did this so that you and I might praise and we might glorify God. And this is why we're here today, is it not? To bring our praise, to glorify God, and to give thanks to the one who has showered down upon us his kindness and his grace. Oh, we are so blessed to be a part of the family of God, are we not? Are we not? This day we come together as a family of faith, giving thanks to our loving God who has redeemed us and who calls us, who calls you, who calls me to be his very own. Well, this Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving. It's a time when we give thanks for all of our blessings. And for the Christian, this is a day that we naturally look to God and lift up and recognize that he is the one from whom all blessings flow. But Thanksgiving is a national holiday. And because of this, it's not necessarily Christian. We as Christians celebrate it. We recognize its Christian roots. And most important of giving thanks to God, this concept is found throughout our scriptures. But today, most everyone celebrates Thanksgiving. Those who believe in God and those who do not. And since it is a national holiday mixed in with our culture and our government, and even though it's faith, it has faith-based roots, the faith part of Thanksgiving often gets watered down in political correctness and even sidetracked altogether. The day becomes about turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and cranberries and family gatherings and football games. And so for many, this Thursday will be a day for the family to get together and eat and share and celebrate just the fun of being with one another. This Thursday, many families will pause for a moment and they will give thanks for those special people in their lives, for their homes, for their health, for their job, and for the stuff of life that they enjoy and stuff that they love. And for the Christian, we give thanks for all of these things too, as we should, correct? Yeah. But the difference for the people of God is that when we give thanks for these things, we are giving thanks to God. Recognizing that these blessings, each and every one of the blessings that we receive in life, even life itself is a gift, and we give God thanks, and they all come from God. Everything comes from God. Recognizing, as Paul did, that God has showered his kindness upon us, and we are so blessed. Thanksgiving's always been a special time, especially for me, not just because of the turkey and the pie, although that's really special, but it's special because it's a time when all of our family gets together, all of us together. And growing up, it was always like this. We often went to Grandma and Grandpa Stevenson's home for Thanksgiving, and we would get to play with our cousins and listen to all of the laughter and the commotion from my uncles and all, and my dad playing euchre. And it's the funny things that we remember in our childhood. My grandfather had a glass eye. And he would fall asleep after getting all stuffed up with turkey, and he would lay there in his recliner, and he'd be asleep, like this, sleeping, you know, and just snoring along. And every Thanksgiving, my cousins and I, we would all gather around him and try to really figure out if he was sleeping or not. And it's like, you touch it. No, you touch it. Oh, and then every now and then he would tease us, of course, and he would act like he's sleeping. And just before we got to touch the eyeball, then he would and wake up, and we would all scream. And I remember my Grandma Ruby. On Thanksgiving, every Thanksgiving, Grandma Ruby always made sure that we kids and moms and dads heard God's word. And she would sit there in her little chair and have us kids gather around. And she would take out this old black Bible that was just worn literally to pieces. And she would open the scriptures for us and begin to read and share God's word and God's stories with us. And I remember Grandma praying these beautiful, beautiful prayers at Thanksgiving, beautiful prayers of thankfulness, and how she was just so incredibly blessed and giving God thanks over and over and over. I remember that specifically about Grandma, and I remember as I got just a little older, I remember thinking, blessed, you know, giving thanks, blessed. You see, she and Grandpa had to move from their nice little home in this little cul-de-sac, little subdivision, nice, quiet, beautiful, beautiful little home because money was tight. And they ended up moving to a place in town on this lot that wasn't in the best neighborhood to a mobile home. And I remember thinking, blessed, blessed. And she would pray these prayers and give God thanks for her blessings. And Grandma Ruby struggled with diabetes, and she struggled with a heart condition. In fact, she died on the operating table from her heart during a surgery. But she had struggled with diabetes most of her life and this heart condition. And I remember thinking, blessed, blessed. Yeah, she was quite blessed, as I came to understand whenever I got a little older. You see, the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, he writes these beautiful words of encouragement, proclaiming the kindness of God and how we are to give thanks. Paul writes, "Thanks be to God through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every blessing." And you know, one would think that Paul's life's probably going pretty well as he pins these words to the church in Ephesus, that he's lifting up his praise from God, and as God has blessed him with many, many blessings, and God has graced him now in his life. But where is Paul Where's Paul when he pens these words? Do you know? He's in prison. Yeah, he's stuck right in the middle of a dingy Roman prison cell facing serious charges. And this hardship is not something new in his ministry. And in fact, this mishap is only one of many difficulties that had occurred during his stormy ministry. He has been shipwrecked. He has been beaten nearly to death. He's been imprisoned. And even many of his fellow Christians are now openly opposing him. And now he faces what surely seems to be a death sentence. And in the midst of this situation, Paul writes to the Corinthians in Ephesus, or the Christians in Ephesus, and he says, "Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has blessed us in Christ with every blessing." Strange words from a man facing execution. But no less strange than what the Lord shares with Job in the Old Testament. If you remember Job's story, he's like the epitome of human suffering. All of his children have been killed in an accident. He's facing financial ruin. He has been stricken with this terrible, terrible illness. And if that's not bad enough, he's married to this nagging wife. And his three best friends are not being too helpful or sympathetic in all of his misfortune. In fact, it seems as if any person is justified in saying, "Let's just skip Thanksgiving this year," it'd be Job. Yet in the midst of all of this immeasurable suffering, the voice of God comes to Job and says to him in a very interesting statement, he says, and we read that in the 37th chapter, verse 14, God says to Job, "Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God." From all outward circumstances, it seems as though Job has nothing to be thankful for. Yet, here is God coming to him in the midst of all of it and saying, in effect, "Job, it's time to count your blessings." And this is why we celebrate Thanksgiving. To stop and to consider the wondrous works of God in our life and in our world. To lift up our praise and our thankfulness for His incredible kindness, for God's incredible grace, even in the midst of the hardest things that we face in life. You know, that's how it was for the pilgrims on the very first Thanksgiving, truly. Now, we might envision the pilgrims having this happily, you know, dining with their Indian friends with mounds of food at the harvest time. Pumpkin pie and roasted turkeys and corn piled high and fresh fruit and veggies scattered around the table with all their nicely pressed pilgrim clothes. But the reality, that first Thanksgiving in 1621... it wasn't like that at all. It was a time of great deprivation, a time of incredible hardship and suffering. The first Thanksgiving for the pilgrims found over half of the 101 settlers dead and buried in unmarked graves for the fears that the Indians would discover just really how weak they were. They were men without a people, without a country. Before them laid months more of famine and disease. In fact, for the next few years, the pilgrims referred to this time as the starving time. Even by 1623, they had to ration their food to just 5 kernels of corn a day per person. Yet in the midst of all of their hardship, they set aside a day to give thanks to God for all of His blessings, for all the kindness that God has shown. Maybe, just maybe, Thanksgiving is more than just being thankful for the cars in our drive or for the house that we live in, our cable dish and our television and our family gathering and our hopes that the Colts might have a winning season and everyone stay healthy. Maybe Thanksgiving is even more than being thankful because we have our health. And for the most part anyway, life is going all right. Because life was certainly not going so well for Paul, or for my grandmother, as far as that went, or for Job, or for the pilgrims, for several Thanksgivings. Yet each of these proclaimed the blessings of God upon their life and gave thanks for the kindness of God. They shared their gratitude with one another and truly with God, who they knew loved them. You see, Thanksgiving is really about gratitude. Is it not? Is it not? Gratitude toward our Heavenly Father who has graced our lives. And it's more than just setting aside one day to say thank you, because this day reminds us that all of our lives are to reflect our Thanksgiving. That Thanksgiving should become a lifestyle for us. And that if we truly are thankful people, then our lives will reflect our thankfulness in what we do and who we are. You see, this is the ultimate way we express gratitude, is it not? By our actions, by who we are as God's people here in this community and here in this little part of our world, by serving those who are in need, to give and to lend a helping hand, by helping those who really don't deserve even help, by extending love and acceptance to those whose lifestyle might be anything but Christian, by being there for those who are hurting and who are struggling in this harsh world of ours. This is how we show our gratitude. See, our thankfulness must be so much more than just saying thank you or I'm just so thankful for, you know, because talk really can be cheap. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites in their expression of gratitude to God. The problem was that there were too many praise services and not enough praise-worthy lives. The Thanksgiving festival of the Hebrews became a mockery because it was having no effect on the lives of the people. It was because of this that God, through the prophet Isaiah, warned the Hebrews to bring no more of your thank offerings. In Isaiah 1, we hear, "Your appointed feasts have become a burden to me. Even though you make prayers, I'll not listen." Oh, you see, we cannot praise God in our words and then dishonor God in our lives. True thanksgiving has to be an echo of our life. Too often, Thanksgiving's reflected in our voices, but not in our lives. It's never just enough to say thanks to God, as important as that is. But if we are to truly be grateful, we have to go on and reflect the love and the kindness and service in our lives. For the Christian, Thanksgiving is so much more than for the stuff that we have in life, even more than our health and our family and our home. And these are important gifts, and it's right to express our thanks for them. But what if, like Job, these things all vanish from our lives, like those people who lost their jobs in the bank this week? What if you lost your home? What if you didn't have too much food on your table this Thanksgiving? Would that mean that you would have no reason to give thanks? Is that what that would mean? No. See, our forefathers were not so much thankful for something as they were thankful to someone. In bounty or in want, they were thankful. In feast or famine, they were thankful. In joy and in misery, they were thankful, because they recognized who held their life and who blessed them and graced them with kindness. They understood what I think Martin Reinhardt understood about faith and life and thanksgiving. Reinhardt was a German who wrote in 1607 that beautiful hymn that we sang just a few moments ago, "Now Thank We All Our God." I hope you listened to the words as you sang along that hymn, that we probably don't sing but once a year or maybe once every 5 or 10 years. but what I want you to know about this hymn is that in the year that Reinhardt wrote that song, over 6,000 people in his German village, including his wife and his children, died of pestilence. Yet in the midst of that catastrophic social and personal loss, Reinhardt sat down to pen this great hymn of praise. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. The Christian faith affirms that in the midst of everything, in death, in loss, in hardship, we are to turn to God in praise. This doesn't mean that we put on some kind of false front of happiness. It doesn't mean that we are to try to psych ourselves into feeling better. No, we are thankful and thankful in hard times and in hardship because we know that just on Calvary's hill, it is God who had that final word. And we know that in any and all circumstances, the victory is ours through faith in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we give thanks. What an amazing gift God has given us. Life itself. Life with all of its challenges and its blessings and its joys and its ecstasies. Life with its occasional pain, but also life with excitement and victory and surprises and times of incomparable inspiration. How can any one of us be ungrateful regardless of our circumstances? How can any one of us fail to thank God for all that He has done? It's the kind of gratitude that allowed the Apostle Paul to write from a prison cell, "I give thanks to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has showered down His kindness and His grace." We give God thanks. Thanks for, but certainly understanding, we give God thanks to, because of His love and how He walks with us day to day. Let's pray. Loving God, we rejoice this day, knowing that sometimes life can be hard. There is loss. There's sometimes that we feel hopeless. We are dismayed. Yet, God, You are the one who brings hope. You are the one who shores us up. You are the one, God, who loves us even despite of ourselves. Lord, we give thanks to You for all of Your good gifts, for even life itself. We ask, Lord, that this week we recognize You even in our midst, and we look to You and know that You are with us always. And in those little things and in those big things, Jesus, we just thank You over and over again for Your grace and Your mercy, and above all, for Your love. For this we give You praise, Father. In Your name we pray. Amen.